The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. Peter Boyles. Making life less complicated in the morning. On News Talk 710, KNUS.
In spite of all evidence to the contrary, the sun is up. And we have actually gained some ground. Still 24 degrees in Aurora. We're all the way back up to 23 degrees in Denver as we get into a snowy evening, it looks like, tonight. Overnight low of 20, 30 tomorrow, 32. But c'est la vie. It is Denver in the winter. And I am so glad to be here with you. Final hour of the Peter Boyle Show. I've really enjoyed the week, given Pete a break, and he'll be back here Monday morning. Always love the opportunity to interact with Peter's audience, and I know there's some crossover and all that, but I can always tell when I'm here because of the reactions on social media, just more buzz coming out of the morning show here, and an awful lot of fun to do regardless. Straight up 8 o'clock now, we've got our next guest, powerhouse, unbelievable, former California Republican Party spokeswoman, one of the founders of Women for a Great America, the website womenforagreatamerica.com. You see her on TV all the time. She was behind some of the tremendous success of the Republican primary debates coming up now on 4 years ago. Good friend. She says I gave her her first radio interview in Colorado. I don't know if that's true, but it was years ago now. Her name is Jennifer Kearns, and if you're a regular listener to 710, you know her well. Good morning, Jen.
Hey, good morning, Randy.
How are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. You know, you mentioned the number 24. I thought you were talking about Nancy Pelosi's poll numbers.
It is so funny. And the Democrats keep there, you know, on the Democrat debates about the lowest rated in history. Certainly the lowest, their most recent one, the lowest rated of this current run of six or seven so far, much, much lower than the record-setting first Republican primary debate that you were a part of. And yet they continue to hammer this people who are struggling under the Trump economy and just all kinds of stupidity. Are they really this blinded, or what is the strategy? Because nobody's gaining traction when it comes to trying to establish impeachment or tear down the successes of this president. Just a whole lot of stupidity going on the Democrat side.
Well, I do think they are blinded, Randy. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And look, the cracks in the Democratic Party are really starting to show. Think about it. You don't have a strong leader at the helm of the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, as he did last time in the 2016 elections. You at least had Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a person who, as you know, played a role in Democratic Party politics, even in Colorado. That's how strong a leader she was. And I think that when you look at the top of the party, you know, on the Republican side, you at least have Ronna McDaniel. She's strong. She's powerful. She's on TV every day, pushing the message out. And the RNC, under her tutelage, whether you like Ronna or not, she has raised the most money in RNC history for a presidential candidate. That they have set records there. By contrast and comparison, you look on the DNC side, it's like crickets. There's no leadership there. There's no guidance there. There's no, you know, paternal or maternal figure on the party side, the national party side, to say, hey, here's what we should be focused on as a message, as a party. Here's how we should be talking to the American people, and here's what we should be focusing on the debates. And I think the silence from the top of the DNC is deafening. They're allowing the Democratic Party primary to be complete chaos, and I think that that's starting to really show to the American people. And the de facto party leader right now, Randy, is Nancy Pelosi.
It's just frightening. You know, it's her, obviously, when she gets up in front of an audience, unless she's well scripted, especially if it's near the end of the day when she's tired, it is very hard for her to articulate a full thought. When her caucus started to cheer over the passing of the first article of impeachment, she had to give that stern grandmotherly, she flicked her head over and her eyes flared and she sort of just shook her papers at him just a little bit, like nobody would notice that she's trying to remind them that this is a very solemn, prayerful, historic occasion. It's just a joke. And the people who are paying attention see through it. The problem for Democrats is very few people are paying attention.
That's right. And look, the stern moment that came during the impeachment vote tally tells you everything you need to know about today's Democratic Party. There's even a rift inside the Democratic Party. And here's the frightening thought, Randy. Nancy Pelosi, as you could see in that moment, is not liberal enough for the current Democratic caucus in the House of Representatives. I mean, how frightening is that? Nancy Pelosi is a San Francisco far less liberal Democrat, and she is not liberal enough for today's caucus of Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and the like. I mean, let that sink in for a moment. And I think that shows you, Randy, how out of touch the modern-day Democratic Party is with the American people. And look, even Nancy Pelosi, you know, she came begrudgingly to the impeachment battle. She didn't want to do it. She wanted to do it on her own timetable, if at all. She wanted to focus on the 2020 elections. But look, her 11th hour shenanigans of not passing those articles of impeachment over to the Senate in a proper and timely fashion is actually costing her in the polls. And so I look at the polls. I look at the top line of polls. I find this very interesting. And if you look at the polling on Nancy Pelosi's approval rating, it tells a great story. If you look at Nancy Pelosi's unfavorable to favorable ratings just this week, they have plummeted in the wake of her shenanigans of not passing those articles over to the Senate. And you look at her favorable rating is in the 30s. Her unfavorable rating is 50% in some polls. That's according to the Real Clear Politics average. That's according to the Economist YouGov polls. That's according to Political Morning Consult polls, the Harvard-Harris poll. These are liberal polls, Randy, so these aren't Republican polls that are biased. These are liberal polls showing that Nancy Pelosi is not popular among the American people. And you know, the only other female figure in America who has those unfavorable to favorable ratings, who are underwater in the ratings like that, the only other figure is Hillary Clinton, that has a 10-point spread, underwater by 10 points in her favorable to unfavorable ratings, and that's Hillary Clinton.
You are a battle-hardened political warrior. You were the face of the recall senators movement after the gun magazine size limits were put into place and we recalled Democrat senators. You were here in Colorado at that time, been involved in national politics, commenting on it, writing about it, strategizing over it. When I look at this field of Democrat candidates, I know insiders, I don't know if it's a leak today or anyway, it sort of led the news this morning that insiders from the Democrat Party are now looking at Bernie as their most viable candidate for president. Others talk about, you know, a last minute entry from Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton with her book tour, and really has gotten herself looking, you know, healthy and strong again. Looks like she could be positioning herself to step back in or maybe show up at a brokered convention or something like that. What do you see? I know we're a long ways away. Haven't even had the first primary in Iowa yet, but how are you playing this out right now?
Well, I think it's still anyone's game, and you saw this in the 2016 elections. The more chaotic a primary election season is, the more likely it is that an outlier can step into the fray. And we saw that in 2016 with Donald Trump. We had 17 candidates. It was the most at the time, the most presidential candidates on the Republican side there had ever been. And look, it greatly benefited the outsider, Donald Trump. And I think that it is possible that a Michelle Obama or a Hillary Clinton could step in to the Democratic primary because there has really emerged no clear frontrunner other than most times at Joe Biden. And if you look at the calendar here, Randy, all it would take is for Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton to walk into the nomination. They just have to declare before the 2020 Democratic National Convention begins on Monday, July 13th. They have to file sometime before that. So they could tease it out throughout the spring and say, you know, I'm thinking of running. Gosh, gee, I really don't want to run, but if I were drafted, I sure would. I have been told that is Hillary Clinton's approach, that she may still be interested in running. If you look around, Randy, look on TV and look at all of the strategy meetings out there, Hillary Clinton's advisors have still been keeping their powder dry. None of them are helping the other candidates. And same with the Obama candidates, with the exception of one candidate. And so I always look at where the political strategists are on the other campaigns. That tells you where the support of those two powerhouse political machines lie, and they don't have much engagement with the other candidates. That tells me that those two political camps, the Obamas and the Clintons, are still keeping their powder dry, and that they could step into a Democratic National Committee come July.
One last thing on the national scene, and then I want to tell you about something that I've just learned about that's going on here in Colorado regarding impeachment. But if correct me if I'm wrong, if memory serves, once Donald Trump was in the race, his polling numbers were always at or near the top of the heap. So the correlation to Trump's history in 2015-16 or 2016 into the election is it would be Joe Biden, who has managed to stay right at the top of the, at least the national polls, throughout his candidacy so far. Now, I suppose the logical answer for both men is their name recognition early on in the process. But do you think that Joe's consistent strength so far bodes poorly for the Democrats in being stuck with creepy Joe Biden as their candidate?
Well, they certainly could. And look, he certainly is keeping his pole position. Surprisingly, Elizabeth Warren has not been able to keep her rising tide going. She's back down to where she was back in October. So, you know, Biden seems to be the front runner. I think that could be upset by a number of people. Michael Bloomberg is going to spend an incredible amount of money come February. We're already starting to see those in digital ads, and in those swing states, we're already starting to see those TV commercials.
But you can't buy charisma.
No, you certainly can't. But, you know, there is no such thing as bad press and a bad digital ad program. And I think that Michael Bloomberg could actually make a dent in this. You reach a point of saturation in the digital and the airwave market. Boy, he could really create some problems for Joe Biden.
I'd said last question, but I wanted to tie it into this on the national scene before we talk about this Colorado story. We had Jenny Beth Martin on earlier today. She's got a piece up in the Hill, Why Donald Trump Will Win 2020. Earlier in the week, we talked to Ted Harvey, our mutual friend who's from the Committee to Defend President Trump, and both are predicting, you know, significant electoral wins for Donald Trump. Looking ahead based on, you know, analyzing everything as we know it to be right now. If you put on your forecaster's hat, what do you see happening between now and November that could change the trajectory that the Trump reelection campaign seems to be on right now?
Well, look, I think it is very likely that Donald Trump will win by a landslide historic victory. But as we know in politics, anything could happen. There's a long time between now and November 2020. And so the daily news cycle could certainly change greatly between now and then. But I think that Trump is doing a remarkable job. Think of there's really been no other president in American history outside of perhaps Ronald Reagan who has checked the boxes and delivered on his campaign promises in the way that Donald Trump has. And he has a whiteboard in the West Wing that has, I think it's about 100 campaign promises that he made on a campaign trail. And he's been going through those and checking the boxes. And so when you look back at what was promised and what was delivered, it is amazing what Donald Trump has been able to really deliver, whether it's working on a deal with North Korea, attacking China on trade, creating jobs in America, creating lowest unemployment across the board with women, minorities, Hispanics, Asians, African Americans, you name it, he's done it. And that's a very tough record for any of those Democrats, the 20-some Democrats, to be able to come up against. And so I think he's done a remarkable job there. Having said that, though, we can't just have a text war or a tweet war and get people to the polls. We really do need a ground game, and that's got to happen in some states. I'm a little bit concerned about where some of the elections have gone, the special elections so far, and, of course, very concerned about where the midterms went in terms of voter turnout. We had very low women, suburban women voter turnout. So I'm keeping an eye on some of those things, but by and large, I think Trump has done a remarkable job at delivering on his campaign promises. And if they focus on that, I think they'll do just fine in November 2020.
And these Democrat primaries have just been childish. The debates have just been childish. These guys aren't going after each other. They feed pablum when it comes to very serious issues like China. We hear today China, Russia, and Iran are holding joint naval drills together. That's a interesting and scary combination. And when they're asked questions about that stuff, they don't have answers. They just have like baby food to try and spoon feed to each other. So, I mean, you put one of those people on stage with Donald Trump, and as of right now, he'll destroy him. He'll overshadow him completely, it seems like to me. But I'm not going to have you comment on that because I want to leave time for something else. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson coming up in a few minutes. I don't usually like to squeeze guests back to back, but he all of a sudden let me know he was available, so I squeezed him in. Do you know Buzz?
I do.
Isn't he the best?
I adore him.
Yeah.
Yep. He's best. Great patriot.
I want to get your take on what's happening here in Colorado. It's also happening in Utah, obviously, to draw the attention of Mitt Romney in Alaska, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins of Maine, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, a so-called group of lifelong Republicans dedicated to defending the institutions of our republic and upholding the rule of law, fighting to make sure that the laws apply equally to everyone, from the average citizen to the President of the United States, is throwing up billboards on I-25 down in Douglas County, El Paso County, the conservative areas of Colorado. And these billboards are going to be addressed to Cory Gardner. Senator Gardner, the witnesses must testify. They're going to have pictures of Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, Rudy Giuliani, and Mick Mulvaney. Guess which witnesses are humorously missing from these billboards? No whistleblower, no Adam Schiff, none of the deep state players who've been involved in all of the scamming or the illegality in Ukraine. Neither of the Bidens are on this list or these pictures of people who have to be called. But they're going to spend $150,000 on billboards and television ads to try and make this case. And guess who's behind it?
Look, here's the problem with the Republicans in the Senate right now. You look at how the Republicans in the House stayed together. Kevin McCarthy brought up a great point, my fellow former Californian. Not a single Republican peeled off in the House impeachment hearings. In fact, we brought people over to us. Representative Jeff Van Drew changed parties to join us, right? But here's the problem in the Senate, and this is why Mitch McConnell's got to shut this thing down. As they say on Wall Street, time kills all deals. And the longer this goes on, the more Republicans are going to say, well, I'm not so sure if I'm going to actually support this this president. And that's why Mitch McConnell's got to keep a tight rein on this. But I'll tell you this, I do know a thing or two about Pueblo. We won those recalls down there. You remember people like Victor Head, also a great patriot. Pierre Delecto does not tell Pueblo, Colorado, what to do.
Yeah.
Those two shall not mix. So I wouldn't worry too much about the billboards. Coloradans, as I recall, don't like it too much when people from the East Coast meddle in their politics, Mike Bloomberg. And I think the same will be taken as such with Mitt Romney and a bunch of East Coast Susan Collins type politicians.
A little scary that they are glopping Cory Gardner in with that bunch, especially
right.
given how, especially given even though he's silent on President Trump, he has really closely aligned himself with strategies in the Middle or the Middle East, in China, the Asia Pacific, the way he's voted with the president on judges, the phone calls that they have, all of those kinds of things. But from this article in Colorado Peak Politics, Joey Bunch wrote that the organization is called Defending Democracy Together, led by such prominent, air quotes, conservatives, my air quotes, as Bill Kristol, Mona Sharon, the lawyer and columnist and author, Linda Chavez, who was the highest-ranking woman in the Reagan White House and has been a real establishment Republican ever since, and virtually a never-Trumper. So no big surprise. None of these people, along with all of the efforts of the Democrats and their puppy dog media, have been able to move the needle on impeachment at all. Meanwhile, the president's popularity continues to tick up as his economic and other successes continue to add up. So I'm with you. These billboards are going to be annoying, but I don't think they're going to move the needle. Any last comments?
Well, look, I think the fact that you had a sitting U.S. senator tweeting under a fictitious name, Pierre Delecto, tells you everything you need to know about how serious Mitt Romney should actually be taken.
Yeah.
And again, Mitt Romney does not tell Pueblo, Colorado, or any other Coloradan what to do. Coloradans have a great track record of independent thinking and making up their own minds, and I'm sure they'll let Cory Gardner know how they feel about this issue.
I am sure they will. I loved your retweet and comment on Britt Hume's tweet about the Christianity Today article. I encourage everybody to follow you on Twitter at Jen Kearns USA, Jen Kearns USA. And Jen, I wish you a very, very happy new year. If you ever find your way back through Colorado, I know we'll get a chance to get together, but stay safe, keep up the good fight, and thanks for the time here in Denver with us this morning. We really do appreciate it.
Hey, likewise, Randy. Happy New Year to you.
All right, take it easy. 8:21, we'll get right to the break and come back on the other side with Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson, he of the nuclear codes and he of the, oh, good morning, President Clinton. Monica Lewinsky is on the front page of all of your newspapers. Be a fascinating conversation, so don't miss it. Stay with us here, 710 KNUS.
We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
I've been looking forward to an opportunity to speak to our next guest for a while. Glad we've got him now. And with time short, let's get right to retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, now congressional candidate, Buzz Patterson, who joins us from California. Good morning, Buzz.
Good morning, Reddy. How are you?
I am terrific. Just for the audience, I met you at a Tea Party event that we did on the East Coast, a couple of years ago now. You're such a dynamic speaker. And when you tell some of your stories about inside the White House while you were carrying the nuclear football for Bill Clinton, they're fascinating. I'm going to want to do a little of that before we turn our attentions to your congressional run. But lay out quickly, if you can, just a bit of your biography. It's just so very impressive.
Well, thanks, Randy. Yes, I was an Air Force pilot for 20 years. I served in, all over the world, 69 countries and 6 continents. My 20 years, and in 1996, I was asked to be President Bill Clinton's Air Force military aide. So I lived in the White House, had an office and a bedroom, carried the nuclear football, which is the large black satchel that contains all the important nuclear information and also a lot of other things, actually. And I was that guy for President Bill Clinton for 2 years in 1998. And I retired from the Air Force in 2001 to pursue a commercial airline career with Delta Airlines, and I started writing books about my experiences, what I'd seen in those 2 years at the Clinton White House, and that just took off. It was a sharp right turn in my career and a whole new venue.
Yeah, it was incredible. And, I always tease, whenever I'm going to have you on, I always tease it that you witnessed, the behavior, the anger flares of Hillary Clinton, that you were there the day that the newspapers were laid out for Bill Clinton that had Monica Lewinsky all over the front page. And that must have been a stressful. Now, I know you weren't, I don't know how much of a Clinton supporter you were, probably not a whole lot, doesn't matter when you're in that role. You serve the office of the president and whoever is in that role, and I'm sure you did it well. But what was it like to be in the midst of all of that turmoil?
You know, I was, again, just an Air Force pilot, actually pretty pretty politically apathetic, Randy. I leaned right. When I was interviewed for the job, they asked me if I had voted for President Clinton. I told them no. They hired me anyway. But moving into the White House and seeing the day-to-day operations of the Clinton administration was just chaotic. It reminded me oftentimes of a frat party. You know, in college, when Hillary was around, it was much more buttoned up. But when she wasn't around, he would just take off and do things that really surprised me. It was very chaotic, very unorganized, not what a military officer would expect from the most important building in the world, the most important person in the world.
It's funny, you know, the news media talks about the chaos inside the Trump administration and, you know, all the pressure and stress because of impeachment and all that. And the insiders that I talk to, people who actually are in and out of the White House or have, you know, been associated with the Trump administration, say it's just the opposite. Trump is enjoying himself. He's calm, cool, collected. You know, he picks these fights that he gets himself into intentionally, very strategically. And that he's a guy who absorbs mountains of information from multiple sources and wants to know everything before he makes a call. And I don't know if you've had any interaction with the administration, but have you heard anything different from that?
No, that's exactly right. I've got several friends that work in the Trump White House, and I also was a surrogate for him in California in 2016. And it's a much different, it's much more organized. President Trump is enjoying himself. I don't know if you've noticed, but he seems to be getting younger. He's a guy who travels constantly and does events every single day, and he seems to be really enjoying it and kind of thriving off of it. And that was very counter to what I experienced with President Clinton. So, yeah, I've got really close buddies that are there, and they love the guy. They love working there, and they what the press is trying to. The narrative is not reality. So the press narrative that they're pushing is not what's actually going on in the White House. And having worked there for years, I can tell you that it can be a very chaotic place. You know, it's a very dynamic place. Things are happening every single day around the clock, and it can be challenging and trying. And but I think that what we're seeing and what we're experiencing with President Trump is that he's in control. He's the president. He's the commander in chief. He's got this. And I think he's going to get it for another 4 years.
You've written some successful books about not only your experience in the White House serving the Clintons, but other aspects of your life. I assume you have, full military retirement given your years and years and years of service. And yet you've decided to throw your hat not only into the political ring, not only into one of the lowest approval entities in the United States of America, the U.S. House of Representatives, but you're running in California. Have you been mentally evaluated before you pulled the trigger on this campaign?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question, Randy. I've been asked to run. I've been out here in California. My wife's a California native. We've been out here for, I don't know, about 16 years, I guess, after my Air Force years. And I've been asked to run several times. And this time, it just felt right. I talked to my wife and I talked to my children, and it was just, it's time to do it. 2020. I think President Trump has gone into Washington D.C. and really stirred things up. He's fighting the swamp every single day, and I mean that's a little bit. I know that's a trite word to use, but I think it's true. I don't think President Trump realized what the headwinds he was going to run into when he got to Washington D.C. And I want to help him have a successful 4 more years. So I was asked to run by the Republican Party out here in California, and I'm going to do it in Sacramento. And I'm ready for the battles. I'm an Air Force pilot. I've been in combat many, many times. I'm a fighter. I don't back down from challenges like this. And it's time for this state, especially. You know, Randy, as you know, this state has really gone through 20 or 30 years of Democratic leadership. And I use that term leadership, quote unquote, loosely. California has gone down the tubes in so many ways, and we need adult leadership. We need experienced military perspective. We need a lot of things that California has been lacking for many, many years. So I was asked to run. I'm so thrilled to do it. I'm running for California 7, which is Sacramento East, up into the foothills, north and south. So we've got a real good shot. It's only a Democratic plus 2% district. You know, we're gonna win this thing, and I think it's going to be a catalyst for turning the House back over to President Trump, the majority back over to President Trump in 2020, and letting him get some real work done in avoiding all the impeachment stuff that's been going on. I mean, this guy, President Trump, has gone through amazing challenges. As a pilot, I can tell you he's been flying into headwinds that I can't imagine as a pilot, and he's succeeded. He's persevering, and I want to help out that effort.
When you say you're a fighter, I want to encourage everybody to follow you on Twitter at Buzz Patterson, because you're hilarious too. I mean, you are you do not shy away from a fight. You're funny, witty, all of those good things. I see that your Democrat opponent, the incumbent, also has a primary challenger. It looks like you have a primary challenger as well. And obviously nobody who's listening to this show, at least here in Colorado, will be voting in the California primaries, but I think there are analogies that can be drawn. We have a primary, for instance, Scott Tipton, who has just recently been endorsed by President Trump on our western slope. And the young woman who took on Beto O'Rourke and came when he was in Colorado, she showed up with her pistol on her hip and said, "Hell no, Beto, you will not take our guns." She is running as a primary challenger to that Republican incumbent. In the era of Trump, what is the thing that can, because Colorado had a blue wave hit in 2018 as well. You've been living in a blue wave for quite a while in California. In the era of Trump, what is the kind of thing that can spark a return to support for Republican candidates in places that have really trended blue for years and years?
You know, I think in California, it's several things, actually. I think my opponent is not a supporter of small business. He votes in lockstep with Nancy Pelosi every single time. He's basically a placeholder. His name is Ami Bera. He's a medical doctor who's never actually practiced medicine. He's been there for 6 years, and California needs change. It's the homeless. You know, Andy, what really bothers me is that, you know, in California, we've got several problems, obviously, but we've got a homeless issue that nobody in the state is addressing, especially our governor, Gavin Newsom. So we've got homeless on the streets of Sacramento, and many of them are vets. Vets that have been to Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and that hurts my heart. I mean, we should be taking care of our veterans first and foremost. And we, in this state, we're actually offering free medical care to illegal aliens and not taking care of our veterans that are on the streets with no place to go and no job, coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan with PTSD or actually, you know, more serious physical problems with losing limbs. And we just have issues that need to be addressed at the human being level. And we're not doing that here. And that's one of the things I really want to, I want to change California. I want to help get started out here. What affects California affects the rest of the country. And I know people are very dismissive of California. I get it. I've been out here a long time. People want to see California. Republicans want to see California kind of go away, but it's not going to go away. It's the fifth largest economy in the world.
Well, and Buzz, you know, the parallels for Colorado, which is trending toward California policies in Denver and Boulder and Fort Collins. It's important for us to watch what has happened in your state because it's trying to come to our state as well. And when I was on every day, I would have out-of-state candidates on at times, special ones, because to me it's important for people from all around the country to support certain special candidates in other states. For people who might be interested in your campaign, how do they help you? How do they find out more?
Well, that's a great thank you, Randy, for that. Yeah, go to www.buzzforcongress. You can either use the FOR for Congress or the numeral 4 for Congress. And it's so far, this is a national race for me. We're getting 90% of our fundraising from out of state. So people are focused on my district, California 7. I would love support, encouragement, prayers. Donations are always very, very helpful, especially in this state. My opponent has a huge war chest, and he's got Nancy Pelosi behind him. And we're, again, this is a toss-up. I think we're going to win it.
Yeah, it's fantastic to only be down, you know, in a minus two county or whatever district. That's that gives you a real chance. And the thing I like about you is you are Trump-like in your approach to campaigns. That's the thing I'm always trying to tell Republicans here in Colorado. We try and get this message to Cory Gardner also, is don't be afraid. Gardner doesn't distance himself from Trump. He votes with him. He talks to him. They're advancing some of the same policies. I expect him to campaign together, but he won't say the name. And I think Donald Trump has shown in this era of politics, Colorado, California, nationally, whatever, you've got to take it to the other side. There's no more playing defense.
No, we've been far too passive for far too long as conservatives and Republicans. Randy, it's just time to take the fight back to the Democrats and the liberals. And you're right. I mean, I support President Trump. I've worked for him. I think what he's doing for the nation is phenomenal in terms of low unemployment rates, for the minorities. And I think he's also a very strong commander in chief. And that, as a military pilot and officer, that strikes home with me. I think the guy gets it. And we haven't had that for quite a while. But you can't, you know, and especially in California, you can't be passive. You can't sit back on your heels and let the opponent, the Democrat, take it to you. You've got to go back at him. As Donald Trump would do, he doubles down every single time. He's a New Yorker. He punches back.
Yeah, and it works, no question. We are out of time. Two things. Just got a text. I'm listening from California. Got many friends in Sacramento. I will spread the word to vote for Colonel Patterson. So hopefully this did you some good. In the minute or so that we've got remaining, just tell us one little story. What was the craziest action, the craziest violence, whatever, that you saw in the White House when you were hanging out with Bill and Hillary there?
Well, probably the most impressive in a negative way to me was when President Bill Clinton lost the nuclear codes. You know, as the military aide, I carried the nuclear football, but the president carries the codes, which you have to have both. You have to have the president with the codes and the military aide with the football. And President Bill Clinton lost those codes. When I confronted him about how long it had been, he couldn't recall how long it had been. So, Randy, essentially, we as Americans didn't have the ability to launch nuclear weapons for weeks and possibly months. And all he was concerned about was his affair with Monica Lewinsky and that information not getting to the national press.
Yeah, and of course the mainstream media was all over that story when it became known years later, weren't they not?
No.
Did you ever see violence, throwing things, or any of that sort of behavior from Hillary?
Yes, frequently. Normally it would be her cursing her husband in elevators, in the limousine. She was just a very profane, and she is a very profane and foul-mouthed woman, and she would take it out on her husband frequently. And, she's very unhinged, and I think she's gone south from my time there. I think you can probably look at her today and understand this woman's not sound, and she would take it out on people around her frequently. Fortunately, I was not one of those. I was advised about that early on in my time there, but she took it out on her closest staff and her husband frequently.
Yeah, she treated the people who were serving her very disrespectfully. I've heard that from many, many different people. Well, give your website one more time.
Yeah, it's Buzz for Congress, either F-O-R or the numeral 4, congress.com. I would love donations. People can search my platform there. And of course, as you know, Randy, I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and any follows, I'll be right there following you back. And I've got, as you say, I'm on there frequently, so I try to be as witty and astute as
possibly
great.
It really is. We're way past time with a heartbreak at the top of the hour, but do you, just real very short answer, do you worry about Hillary Clinton coming in last minute to try and save the Democrat clown show?
She is going to come in. I guarantee you she is. She's going to wait till after all the debates are done, and she's going to drop herself back into the race. Just wait for it.
Well, happy frickin' New Year.
Exactly.
Hey, it's so good to talk to you, man. I hope I see you in an event again sometime, and really wish you well in your race. And we'll have you on again before, obviously, before your primary is over and then into the general election. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Reddy. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Better believe it. We'll get right to the break right now. Stay with us. Final segment of the Peter Boyle Show on 710 KNUS.
Message and data rates apply. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
My final opportunity to say thank you to all the great Peter Boyle's listeners. Thanks, Kelly, for your work. Always fun to work with the boss. Don't tell anybody, but, you know, get to tell him, hey, I got to have this, need that, boss him around a little bit. Seems to take it okay. Peter Boyle's will be back here bright and early on Monday. I'm not done with you for the week, however. I'll be here tomorrow. Deborah Florian from 6 to 9. I'll be doing the 9 to 12 on Saturday. And we'll be joined by Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch to talk about a story that is very personal to me, because a big Muslim center is apparently going up in Overland Park, where my cousin and his grandson were murdered about 5.5 years ago. So we'll definitely spend some time on that tomorrow. I want to go out with just a comment on this organization, Defending Democracy Together, led by Bill Kristol and Mona Sharon and Linda Chavez from here in Colorado. Prominent conservatives, they like to say. And, you know, first thing, defending democracy together. How about defending our republic? How about just starting there, prominent conservatives? The Bill Kristol folks, Linda Chavez, I really like. I've had a chance to be on a panel with her at Centennial Institute. We were debating immigration policy. Had her on the radio after that, I think. I've invited her since, but haven't been able to get her. But these people, like Bill Kristol, who's been writing about liberty, who's been writing about conservatism for decades, Linda Chavez, who was the highest-ranking woman in the Reagan White House, later chaired the National Commission on Migrant Education under President George H.W. Bush. Linda Chavez, a lawyer, a writer, a pundit. These people have had decades to actually get something done. When I met with Bill Kristol in D.C. During the Republican convention, and he was trying to find some candidate to run against Donald Trump, they were talking about their concerns about how, you know, this New York liberal wasn't going to keep his promises, couldn't trust him, couldn't this, couldn't that. And I was dubious about Donald Trump. I certainly voted for him, but he has won me over because of what he has done. He has done more, and I know the debt is a problem, but he has done more to advance the conservative agenda, to stand up for Israel, for religious freedom, for your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. All of those things are things that this president has accomplished, not written about, talked about. So when you see those stupid billboards that are going to go up on I-25 in Douglas and El Paso County, just say a silent prayer for perhaps the greatest president of my lifetime. We will see as he gets into his second term just how good he can be. All right, that's it. As I said, I will be back tomorrow, 9 to 12. Deb Flores in from 6 to 9. And so a very special 6 hours of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on Saturday. Hugh Hewitt's next. Matt Dunn in for Stephen Tubbs. Really enjoyed my time with you on the Peter Boyle Show. I encourage Peter to take vacations often. God loves you. So do I. Have a great weekend, everybody.